I'm kind of impressed with how many of you are here today with all the deluge we had this morning, trying to find the lanes, trying to find the stripes, and then every now and again having incredible illumination through lightning. And it was awesome. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, come on. This is Sunday morning. You know, people aren't going to want to come. And then I was chastened right in that thought. And I thought, you know what? You are the master. You're the Lord. You know. You know who's going to be here, and it's all okay. So I said, I will hasten not to be bummed. And that's a quotable statement. You can write that down for future use. What a great day. What a great day. It's always a great day, not only in the house of the Lord, but whenever we awaken and get out of bed on the right or the wrong side, it just doesn't matter. The Lord is with us. Enduring for the joy. Hope you got the sense of the delayed gratification message with the kids this morning. And what an incredible bunch of scripture that we had today. Thank you, Mel. And you know, I don't know if you guys remember how I've been praying for the filling in of the seats over here and the seats over here. And do you notice that that's happening? Are you kind of aware that that's starting to happen? And it's not just because I said, sit in the front. Some of you people are fairly new to our fellowship, and welcome again and again. So wonderful to have you. And thanks over here, Stu and Betty. It kind of fills it out for me. It's fascinating. Today's scripture, looking at it, looking at Psalms, and seeing that we want the Lord God Almighty to return to us. We're looking at the walls being torn down. We're looking at everybody coming by picking the grapes. Boars from the forest are ravaging everything that we have. And we're saying, Lord, watch over our vine. And I love this part. This is out of Psalms, the 8 through 19 portion. And it says, your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. You know who that is, right? It goes on to say, the man at your right hand, the son of the man you have raised up for yourself. That's Jesus Christ. Restore us. Revive us. Revive us again. Make your face shine on us that we may all be saved. So that's like our precursor. And then we tie it in with our Hebrews passage, which I'm going to go through a little bit this morning. And you'll see that I'm talking about enduring for joy. Last week, we talked a little bit about the triumph in faith and the triumph of faith. And there was some allusion to Ephesians and a little bit to Hebrews even last week. But sufferings and why they stayed even when they could be released. Do you remember that part when Mel was reading it? It's so interesting. They said, some faced jeers and floggings. This is in verse 36. And even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. And I'm sorry for this. This is not a PC scripture here. It's maybe a PG-13 scripture. It says, they were sawed in two and were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And the world was not worthy of them. The Lord puts us and elevates us up if we even go through that kind of struggle. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And I think if we start to get bummed out where we're living and what's happening and the roof is leaking in our house, which it is at my house. I've got things up there catching it. I'm trying to fix it. Every year I fix a little bit more. And if I start to get bummed out about that, I think, I can't be mad about that. Look at these people living in holes, in caves, wandering in the deserts and mountains, and they were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. And I hope you catch the drift here. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is incredible. They received the promises of God, but they didn't get to get the fulfillment. It wasn't accomplished in their lifetime. So they keep hearing about the promises, and it's not happening. And how many times do we pray and say, Lord, Lord, heal my aunt, heal my uncle, be with us for this or for that and the other thing. I've prayed for 2 weeks already and you haven't answered me. I don't think you're up there. And we've talked about that, people praying for years and years and years for revival, and suddenly it happens and we think, wow, was that the formula? Maybe, in a certain respect, getting our priorities straight. Yet these people lived their whole lives and never saw what was promised come about. And then here we have in Hebrews, it being told to us, the reason for it is because God had planned something better for us. So he's talking about the people who were living at that time, and we can include ourselves in that, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So here is something fabulous that is going to encompass all the promises to them, everything that's been accomplished, and they get to live it out with us in the closing days. Together, it is better, isn't it? And who else was concerned with that? Jesus also kept his eyes on the joy to come, and for that, he endured the cross. It says right here, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and that allowed him to sit down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, at the right hand at the throne. He suffered on the cross. We know all about that. Who wants to suffer? I do. I want to suffer. What? Are you nuts? I can just see us driving through the drive-thru at those restaurants. And you know how they always say, you want fries with that?
Yeah, I'll have fries with that.
You want suffering with that? Yeah, I want suffering with that. Supersize me on the suffering. I want some major suffering. How many of us think like that? I would venture to say not any of us, right? If you come through the fire and difficult part of life and you're going through it and you go, wow, the Lord really rescued me from this. So the next day you wake up and say, Lord, please bring horrible suffering and strife for me because I want to see how you save me from it. It's so cool. I'll bet we say, Lord, thanks for taking me through that. Don't please ever let it happen again. Right? What is this thing about suffering? I was watching something. It's a documentary, and if you watch it, you got to have all of your Kleenex ready because it's just intense. It's not the movie that's coming out about Fred Rogers, but it's the documentary that was made about him. And it showed him going through pain and grief when 9/11 happened. He couldn't land that bird. He couldn't figure out how that had happened. How do we deal with pain and suffering in the world when we want to have a happy and positive attitude? I'm preaching at myself so much right now. I'm like, it's all happy. It's all good. Yeah. I mean, that's what I love. Isn't it a great day today? right? And then something horrible happens. And I go, it's all good. It's all good. Oh my goodness. I've been accused of being a Pollyanna guy. But at the same time, I want to be realistic, but I don't want to be negative. Are you feeling that fine line with me? Like we want to look at the glory of God and how wonderful it is. Yet what is this about enduring the pain, enduring the suffering, because there's joy? Reminds me, I may have told this to you, but I love this so much, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to tell you again. You've got the positive kid. And you got the negative kid. And they bring him in down the hall of this specially constructed experimental lab. It's kind of part of their scientific experiment at the school. And these are young kids. And you bring one kid in, and it's a room filled with manure. And it's about this deep. And you say, go in there. And the kid goes, are you crazy? It stinks. And I'm not going in there, I'm not getting that on my feet, on my shoes. These are new pants. And he won't even go in. You go to the next door, and it's the positive kid. And you're looking around for him, but he's already gone in even before you told him. He's sitting down in the middle of the manure, and he's going like this. He's throwing it everywhere. And you say, what is the matter with you? What's going on? He says, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. What a different way of looking at life. It's kind of funny, but in a sense, it's true. What do we do? How do we look at life? First, maybe we go back and see how we're able to stand with ourselves in the midst of pain and suffering? And how in the world can we be thankful for it? That's a reflective piece, isn't it? There's horrible pain and suffering in the world. Amen, all right, I love it, bring more. Or do we go, this is horrible. How can I find your purpose in this, God? What is this? Did you design this? Maybe not. Maybe the Lord designed something different and sin has crept into the world and it's a mess right now. How do we deal with that? The second one, after we reflect on our own pain, is to look at it and say, how do we stand with others who are in the same pain as we are and maybe even greater pain? They're on the spectrum, they're way beyond where we are. Almost want to pause so we can think about that for a while. You can picture someone in your head and you go, why did I ever think I was in a bad way? And third, we look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those verses that I read to you where he says he wants us to run the race with perseverance. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew that was not only death, but it was horrible, torturous death. And it goes beyond his physical death because it's the spiritual darkness that he goes through, those 3 hours of darkness on the cross when his dad couldn't even look at him because he had all of our sin on him. That is horrible separation. Yet he stayed focused on that pain, on enduring the pain for the greater goal, for the greater joy. Now, I thought about this as I was getting ready. I thought, okay, let's throw out some examples for you. And the first one was marriage. And I thought, no, I won't do that. But then I did. And I've spoken about this. We've had some weddings here, and I talk about it. And I've even talked about it here from the pulpit on one occasion that I remember. And we talk, and it's kind of funny. Long suffering. And then you think, don't I deserve to be happy? I'm getting out of this marriage. Yet what about bearing down and saying, Lord, this is what you have for me. Show me. Show me the pony. Show me the wonderful, beautiful joy in this. Because if I'm faithful and endure, there's something beautiful here. And there's even something, if you go beyond 40 and 50 years and 60 years, people come around you and they go, you're blessing me right now. It's incredible you guys are together. And you go, yes, it is. But it's incredible because of the Lord Jesus. That's why we're together. And make no mistake, we love each other deeply. And we love each other more and more deeply as each day, week, month, year goes by. But it's because of our commitment to Christ. We endure for the joy. What about another example? The end is not the means. How many of us have finished a project and then we look around and we have this empty feeling? How long is it before we look for something else to bring us a struggle or a challenge? How about the car commercials that say, and you know I always do car things, but it says, the journey is the destination. And the first time I saw that commercial, I said, yes, you get me. You get it. Road trip, road trip. I want to do road trips. With another organization I work with, they have retreats in Minnesota. And they say, let us know when you've arranged the flight so we can pick you up at the airport. And I say, the flight? I'm driving, baby. I always drive to those retreats. It is the most wonderful time for me. The journey is the destination. Any of you who enjoy road trips know what I'm talking about. And it even goes further as we begin to live into our pain and our own struggle in life. I always laugh because that's what my father-in-law used to call my mother-in-law. He says, Mark, have you seen the struggle and strife? And then she'd come in with that grimace grin on her face. She goes, yeah. But they cared for each other. They did. It was their way of kidding around with each other. And we can even go back to the very beginning. After the fall of man, the Lord said, you're going to have to struggle to eke out your existence from the sweat of your brow. There's going to be weeds, and you've got to cull it and get them out of there. And it's going to be hard. You're going to have a hard life because of what you've done. And whether we know it or not, I think that's become our reality. And I read something just 2 days ago. It was on a billboard. And it said, the sad lives of the wealthy. And I went, what? And I thought about it. And I thought about us. And sorry if I'm putting you in the us. And I thought, we struggle and strive to pay off our bills and figure out how in the world we're going to make it month to month. And suddenly, when we're not anymore living paycheck to paycheck, we begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Or maybe you're one of those who's had the pipe dream of winning the lottery. Or maybe even the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. And who among us has not thought, how would I spend this money? You know, and you think it through, and then suddenly you go, wait. I can't think about myself. Got to first start that orphanage in Nicaragua, and then I've got to help the people in, you know, in the difficult, depressed areas of our city. And then I got to, and then I get, you know, those 17 cars and the yacht and all that. But you know, I'm thinking of other people first. You know, and you start to think through all of those things. Or there's another billboard that says, "How would you spend all that time?" And I thought, time. I thought it was money. But you realize what it is. We're not struggling in life to earn our living anymore, so we're sitting around or we're figuring out what we're going to do. Yet here on this other billboard, it talked about how miserable the lives of the wealthy were. And I was trying to put my head around that, and I thought about it, and it began to make sense. The times of sheer connectedness that I've had in my life, and yes, even joy, have happened to me when I've had to cry out to my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, help me. Can you please help me? I don't know what I'm going to do to pay for all the oral surgeries I've had. It's not covered by my insurance. You can put anything in there that you want. I don't know what's happened. My child is, you know, owing all this money on their school loan debt. How are we going to do this? I don't know what to do. And you begin to be dependent on the Lord for your daily bread, your daily sustenance. Literally, when we pray that prayer, we really are dependent. My life in those times was spiritually linked to my Lord. I couldn't do it on my own. And guess what? I felt totally connected to God. I watched many times people that we worked with in Colombia in particular. And you'd go in, they had no refrigerator, and they literally would get their daily bread at the corner. And I went, wow, they get their daily bread. They really must get this prayer. And it was absolutely life-changing to look at the way they lived. Maybe another way might be struggling to win the affections of another. And you might naturally go to trying to win your spouse the days that you guys were courting. But I want to put a different scenario to you. When I was in seminary, my son was a year and a half. Our son, my wife's here today too. Our son was a year and a half. And it was a crack up because this really good friend of ours named Dallas Anderson, some of you may know him. He kind of got up in the ranks of the covenant. But he was in seminary with us at the time. And he came over, and he was really taken with my son. Just, he was cute, and so he wanted to get to know him. And he came over, and my son was very outgoing, but Dallas came over, and he kind of turned his head away. And Dallas kept coming and trying different sides of us as we held him. We tried to let him be held, and he's like, I don't know him. And so Dallas, who had become a good friend of ours, said to me, he says, you don't know it, but Nils is going to be my friend. I'm going to win him over, he said. Within a few months, Dallas was my son's absolute hero. They were buds. I mean, after all, he was a cowboy. He had a 6,000-acre ranch in South Dakota. He took us out there to work cattle. It was incredible. And he would talk about Dallas in these glowing terms. They were buds. It was glorious. He had won him over. Or how about people who retire and can finally relax and they can't wait to find something to help fill their time? Okay, I know this isn't all of us. Some of us go, oh, no, I'm praying for that day. But for some of us, we just can't wait to just relax, yet we know that our fulfillment comes when we're doing things. And at least maybe that fulfillment would be in Christ Jesus to keep on keeping on. What do we have as a takeaway today? I want to go back to the Fred Rogers reference I made at the beginning of this message. He had joy in his life, didn't he? Won't you be my neighbor? And he always did that. I watch him, and I just get these warm fuzzies all over the place. And I was too old when he came out, but it was my brothers and sisters who would watch it, and they would just watch it, and they were quiet. And I thought, what's going on? So I came in, and I went, oh. And I was quiet, too. And I thought, this is like drugs or something. You know, you can just watch this guy. And you just mellow out. He was wonderful. And he was so happy. And he always said, it's always so good to be you. No one else is like you. It was kind of almost a take on Dr. Seuss stuff. Nobody else is like you. And then, in this documentary that I told you I had watched, 9/11 happens, and he was in absolute grief. And they wanted him to speak and make a statement about it. And he says, I cannot. I cannot. And finally, one of the ladies came up to him and said, Fred, everyone listens to you. You have to say something. And he was finally convinced, and he came on the air and said, remember, we are repairers and restorers. We are repairers and restorers. That's why we are here. We are to do good every day of our lives to our neighbors and our fellow humankind. That was what his message was for all of us. He said it in his humble, beautiful way. And you could see that he was just devastated. A man who felt we can just share this good news. And he was a minister. And he wanted to be kind and friendly, and he was purveying that, yet he was standing in the middle of this horrible travesty and tragedy. But I would say to you, is it not what our lives are to be in Christ? This is why we are here. It's hard, and it's a struggle. But wow, we can endure for the joy. I hope you're getting a sense of that today. The world, remember that song, The World's a Bad Place, a Terrible Place to Live, came out in the 60s. And then the guy says, but I don't want to die. We can endure for the joy. It's worth it to get that close relationship with the Lord. Our lives are fulfilled. We look at the joy in this world and the world to come. We see how Jesus takes us through the sufferings. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm quoting John 16:33. This is the Lord Jesus talking. He says, in this world you will have trouble. And I always go, thanks a lot. Supersize me on the trouble, babe. Did I just call Jesus, babe? Jesus, sorry. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Who's that speaking? That's Jesus. He has overcome the world. It's an absolute thrill to see how our Lord will overcome each trial and each of our sufferings. And I will tell you, we're strengthened by that. That is the encouragement today. The world is a mess. It's hard. It's suffering. But what strength and encouragement we get in seeing how the Lord pulls us out of every one of these difficulties. Please pray with me.